GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. The man thought to be behind that targeted attack on Minnesota lawmakers over the weekend is now in police custody. Authorities picked him up last night near his farm outside the Twin Cities. He was still armed, but police say he gave up without a fight.
Vance Bolter is held on bonds totaling $5 million and facing state charges of second-degree murder.
We are also in close contact with our federal partners, both the FBI, United States Attorney's Office, who are examining whether or not additional charges should be brought at the federal level.
Drew Evans heads the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. President Trump has asked the Justice Department to pursue federal charges in the case as well. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
To the Middle East now, where Israel says it's achieved full air superiority over Tehran, the Iranian capital. The two countries have been trading deadly airstrikes over the past few days after Israel mounted a major attack on Iran's nuclear infrastructure. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. No Kings protests and marches were held across the country and through Wisconsin Saturday to bring attention to what protesters call the fascist and authoritarian actions of the Donald Trump presidential administration. One of the protests was in Oshkosh, where unofficial estimates put about 1,000 protesters in the Opera House Square. Deb Martin of Indivisible Winnebago said 400 people registered through indivisible.org to participate in the No Kings protest in Oshkosh. However, many more showed up. Martin reminded the protesters to be safe and remain peaceful.
We do not want any reason for the guy in office to declare martial law. It's not going to happen because of Oshkosh. We are peaceful protesters here.
Protesters in Oshkosh came from Appleton, Mena, Menasha, Oshkosh, and even from Portland, Oregon. About 2,000 protesters showed up at Lyke Park Saturday evening for Green Bay's No Kings protest. A plea deal has been offered to 32-year-old Katrina Bauer. She's the mother of 3-year-old Elijah Vu, who was reported missing in February of 2024 and whose body was found in September. Details of the plea agreement were not released, but her attorney told the court Friday that she needed more time to review it and other information related to the case. A status conference has been scheduled for September 26th. Bauer previously pleaded not guilty to charges of chronic neglect of a child, consequence of death, and child neglect. Jesse Vang, her boyfriend and caretaker of Elijah when he went missing, is charged with physical abuse of a child causing death and hiding a corpse. His next court appearance is June 20th. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
Another win for Priester. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball. The Brewers have the day off before heading to Chicago tomorrow night for a series against the Cubs. The crew with a 3-2 win over the Cardinals yesterday, thanks to 24-year-old Quinn Priester, the right-hander out of Cary, Illinois, who's now won 4 in a row. I asked him what went through his mind as he held St. Louis to just 1 run through 6 innings.
No excuses type of mentality. Even today, you know, don't get a strike, you know, don't get a call go your way. Like, who cares? Like, you can't change it. You know, complain about it's not going to help anybody. So just go out there, do the job. You know, it's asked of me, and try and exceed those expectations and help us win games.
Manager Pat Murphy.
Quinn was great. We've given him that opportunity, and he's riding it.
NBA Finals Game 5 tonight. The Thunder host the Pacers. The series tied at 2 games apiece. A blockbuster trade. The Grizzlies sending guard Desmond Bane to the Orlando Magic for 2 other players and 5 first-round draft picks. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today, warm and muggy, with highs reaching the low 80s. Got chances for scattered showers and thunderstorms sparking up this afternoon, and then a line rolling through late tonight. And some of those could be strong to severe, bringing hail, high winds, and heavy downpours. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Mino and the Mayor.
On Tuesday's show, we'll talk about the upcoming Veterans Fishing University, which is awesome.
And Kerry Josephson stops by to let us know about the Walk to End Alzheimer's Team Kickoff event. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Khaled Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He normally joins us on Fridays to discuss all things Wisconsin and political. We have a double shot of Dan Schaefer this week, who is at the convention in Wisconsin over the weekend. Good morning, Dan. You must be tired. It was a long weekend for you.
It was a long weekend, but happy to join you here on Matt and Air on Air, as always. And yes, it was quite the weekend at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells for the WISDEMS 2025 convention, talking about the road to 2026 and electing a new chair. The farewell convention for Ben Wickler in so many ways. And I think Ben maybe took the stage, about 20 different times over the course of the 2-day convention to talk. But it was definitely a celebration of Ben Wickler's 6 years as chair of the party, and then looking ahead to the future after they elected Devin Remiker as the next chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. So lots going on, as always.
What do we know about Devin Remiker, other than the fact that, because Ben Wickler had endorsed him leading up to this?
That's right. Yeah, Wickler endorsed Remiker in this race. Remiker was the executive director of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin for quite some time. He was one of the leaders of the Harris Walls campaign in Wisconsin last year. He is a native of Two Rivers, Wisconsin, went to UW-La Crosse, and has, really been part of the party for quite a while in Wisconsin. So I think he, of the people running, he seemed kind of like the more internal WISDEMS, kind of insider choice, Joe Zepecki running a little bit from outside of the party, and then William Garcia running and he came in third place in the final votes there for that. But I think Remiker is going to be, he really built this as kind of a continuation of what was going right for Democrats of Wisconsin. I think even at one point in one of the speeches he gave, it's just like, well, national Democrats were rolling over, Wisconsin Democrats were putting up a fight. And mm-hmm. I think he kept saying that in Wisconsin, the Democratic Party works. And so for whatever dysfunction you might see on a national scale for the Democratic Party, I think that part of his message was to say that, what we're doing in Wisconsin is working. And I think by and large, the results of the spring election have absolutely reinvigorated the party. I think there was so many people after the loss in November. I wonder what this type of convention would be like had it not been for Susan Crawford's 10-point victory in April,
Yeah, I think there'd be a lot more hair on fire, maybe.
Like, wringing of hands.
What are we going to do? Yeah. And really, like, you think about it, too, like the past, the first Donald Trump v. Clinton, but the 2016, 2020, 2024 were tumultuous for Wisconsin, back and forth, in a time when the presidential election since Reagan went to Democrats. But Wisconsin, when it becomes our election, our statewide election, we lock it down. We get it in and we talk about the important things. And we see a different attitude. And Dan, I believe you talked about this too, is that in the April election of this year, things really shifted left in all counties and all parts of the state. Areas that went for Trump, I mean, they didn't become all of a sudden blue havens, right, but they definitely showed a tick towards the left. And I think if the Wisconsin Democrats can capitalize on the work that Ben Wickler has done, I think there can be some really good things happening, especially in those wow counties, the bow counties, and those areas that people are like, well, those are Republican strongholds. And also with fair maps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, and Wickler, I think the number that they were saying at the convention that under, you know, his leadership, Democrats or democratically aligned candidates had won 10 of the last 13 statewide races since he took the helm in 2019. So a pretty impressive record overall. Obviously, flipping the state Supreme Court was a big part of that, you know, coming up short in November. But, you know, the closest of all of the swing states in the country, too. So I think, you know, Remaker will have an opportunity to, you know, kind of carry the torch from Wickler. And it was an interesting vote. It was contentious. It was close. Both camps had a lot of signs, you know, floating around the convention for the weekend. But then it did go to a second round in the ranked choice voting on Sunday. So this was held with ranked choice voting for the first time because they had three candidates running for it. In the first round of voting, Remaker received 437 votes. Sopecki got 330 and Garcia had 139. So then Garcia drops off for the second round. Mm-hmm. And then those kind of second place votes within those ranks, Remaker ended up with 485 to Sopecki's 415.
Wow, so, close,
you know,
though.
Pretty close, really close. Ultimately, at the end of the day. Yeah, so a really interesting vote. Interesting that they had it with ranked choice voting. And then, you know, on down the line, it was also two new party officers were elected. They ran unopposed. So Sarah Godlewski is now the first vice chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And Joshua Taylor, who's been the chair of the party's fourth congressional district, was elected as second vice chair as well. So some change within a couple of the officers of the party as well. And with Godlewski, I do wonder if, you know, the fact that she's been a more public face for in a lot of different places. She's, you know, taken this both state treasurer and secretary of state's office and done a little bit more with it than we might expect.
Right.
You know, I wonder if she might take a similar approach to the first vice chair role as well.
Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor, also the creator of the Recombobulation Area. He was at the WisDems convention over the weekend, and we're doing a little recap of what happened, including the election of Devin Remaker as the head of WisDems. I think it's interesting that they did ranked choice voting. I know that that's something that there's a push to see more of this happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just overall, like, democracy reforms are really interesting. And I thought it was great that WisDems, you know, as advancing this, you know, as a platform or as an option to go about it. You know, we're seeing in the national news, like the mayor of New York election, mm-hmm. Mayor of New York City election that's happening right now will also be a ranked choice vote. So that's going to be interesting to watch there as well. But I think, you know, sometimes we've seen people talk about, hey, let's do ranked choice voting. Like in the legislature, they talked about, you know, a couple people talked about wanting to do ranked choice voting. Oh, but not for us, but for, you know, members of Congress or something like that. So I thought it was good of the Democrats to say, we approve of this and we're actually going to adopt it to elect our chair and our party officers.
Yeah, so, it's kind of tough to say this is a really good thing that we should do, but we don't want to do this thing. That's kind of tough.
I have a question, Dan, and I'm asking you to give me your opinion on like the behind the scenes stuff. And
yeah,
I found something very interesting. So when Ben Wickler decides to step down, we saw people throwing their hats in the ring, and one of the first people is Joe Sopecki. I mean, I think the day, like, either the day after or the weekend after, and he came out strong with lots of endorsements.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben Wickler had said, I'm not going to endorse anybody. And then in the last couple of weeks, he endorsed Devin. I almost said Lemahieu, but remind me his
that'd
last name.
That'd be a surprise.
Right? But but why do you, A, why do you think he endorsed him? And B, and this is our, I don't want to get conspiracy theory or like politics. Was it because Joe Sopecki was, as you said, an outsider showing a lead or real good chance of getting it? And they'd be like, no, we want to keep it like within, I don't know. Don't elect the outsider guy. Don't let's keep it with us. I mean, that, I know that's a lot for you to comment on. And
it's
if
a
you,
fair question though.
If you don't want to, I understand, but it just seemed very weird that he did exactly what he said he wasn't going to do, which is very odd because, you know, it would be easier not to endorse anybody, but he took heat for doing this. And it seemed like it happened in the moment where it's the outside guy, Joe Sopecki, who, you know, I think would have done a great job. I loved his attitude towards statewide inclusion and community, but was it too much? And they're like, no, we got to keep one of our guys in this chair. Mm.
Yeah. So, you know, I interviewed Ben Wickler about a month ago, and it happened to be the day after that he endorsed Remicker. And mm-hmm. so I asked him about it. He had initially said he was going to remain neutral, and Wickler said, he just said he changed his mind and that he's just like, it's an election. Everybody gets their say. I do wonder if, you know, that was a significant factor in swinging some votes over. I know some people were just like, didn't really exactly love, you know, his decision to endorse in the race. But I think, you know, look, I don't think it was a coincidence that Remicker announced his campaign for this within hours of Wickler stepping down.
Yeah.
Like it just seemed like he was, you know, kind of the internal pick to continue on and, you know, grab the torch from Wickler and continue with like the same type of approach that they have been. I joked with Ben in that interview that, using one of my favorite jokes from the HBO series Veep, the campaign line, continuity with change.
God, that show is good. So good.
So good.
And that to me, it kind of like what we spoke about last week. And if you want to listen to our interview with Dan from last week, go to civicmedia.us/shows. You can listen to the Friday episode. We're talking about your article regarding Tony Evers, and we're talking about the idea of primaries versus picking the next person or just allowing that person, you know, the guy in charge, to just walk past everybody else and say, he's the one. Mm-hmm. This notion of we want primaries, we want choices, I think gets muted when the guy who is beloved, who says he's not going to endorse, then comes out and says he endorses the guy who literally announced hours after Ben announced his retirement. Mm-hmm. It just, for me, there's a little pain there. You go like, oh, you could, that will always bother me. That will always bother me.
I do wonder if there's a comparison to be made in this race between the race for Wisdom's chair and the race for DNC chair. So, you know, just as Sopecki was kind of mounting these, you know, endorsements when he announced and stuff like that, Ben Wickler was in the same role, mm-hmm. kind of as more of the party outsider compared to Ken Martin, who had been, you know, an officer within the DNC for a while.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, some of us were surprised to see Ken Martin win that, but he had been kind of lining up a run for this type of role for a really long time. And I wonder if there's, you know, Devin Remicker is the Ken Martin in this analogy and Joe Sopecki is the Ben Wickler in this analogy,
well,
where maybe a little bit more of a public persona for Sopecki, but maybe didn't have the support from within the party, within mm-hmm. the delegates and all of that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, Ben Wickler, but he may not want to get too comfortable because whether or not Ken Martin's going to remain in that spot after he was caught on tape saying, yeah, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. What, have you been there for 2 months?
It's not great, Jane.
No,
it's
not good.
This job is hard.
Oh, I didn't think it was going to be this hard. Well,
I got to talk to all the Democrats? Oh, God.
Yeah. So, Ben, I don't know. You might get tapped for this yet.
Yeah. That's an interesting analogy, Dan. This is very, very interesting. Because, yeah, I just couldn't, when I saw that he was elected, when Devin Remicker was elected, I'm like, that just, it stuck in my craw, to quote my grandpappy.
Well, and I think unfortunately, that can lead to both parties are the same. Both parties do this.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
yep.
One is not better than the other.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer on the other side, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi award-winning recombobulation area. Stay close. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM. Remembering Vietnam, brought to you by The Dispensary.
One day we started heading back to dock towing some wounded guys in the truck, and the company commander said to stop the convoy. He said, "Where are the bodies?" We had two guys killed, and they had been left lying back there. That can't happen. So the captain said, "We need some guys to go back and get them." I'm thinking, I hope it's not me. And sure enough, he says, "Brzezinski, come with me. We're going back to pick up the bodies." And I'm like, "Captain, what do you mean? Can't we take the truck?" He said, "No, because they would just blow it up, and we can't afford to lose that truck." I took my helmet and flak jacket off. I could never run in those things, although I knew one well-placed bullet could kill me, and we started running back to the bodies. Mike Brzezinski, United States Army, Vietnam.
Hear this full story at WGBW.FM. Click on Remembering Vietnam. Brought to you by The Dispensary. Online at thed8dispensary.com.
Learn about the food you eat on the Midwest Farm Report. Join Farm Babe Pam Yockey and her team every weekday morning from 5 to 6 on 97.9 WGBW. Brought to you by Brickstead Dairy Farms and Greenleaf. Smart dairy, healthy planet. BricksteadDairy.com.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captate Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. A double dose of recombobulating this week. Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area. And Dan was at the WISDEMS convention over the weekend here in Wisconsin.
And not only stuff happening with a brand new chair, but Dan, you sat down with Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock, who was, if I'm not mistaken, the keynote speaker of that event, correct?
That's right. He was the keynote speaker. Saturday night at the convention is kind of when all of the different big names in Wisconsin politics would deliver their speeches. And Warnock's was the one to cap off the night. He delivered a terrific speech. But moments before he delivered that speech, I got a chance to sit down with him for a few minutes and interview the senator, which was a real treat. And, you know, he had some really interesting things to say. There are some commonalities between Wisconsin and Georgia, both being, you know, swing states, both being purple states, and the challenges that can come with that. And, you know, he talked about the big ugly bill working its way through Congress. He talked about working with Senator Tammy Baldwin. Both Georgia and Wisconsin are both non-expansion states for Medicaid, and that's something right. That both of them have worked on at a federal level to try and make some change there as well, and talked about kind of where Wisconsin's position is nationally and what type of significance the spring election had in Wisconsin too. So had 10 minutes with the senator, and we touched on a lot. So go check out that interview at the Recombobulation Area.
And we have a small clip of that conversation that you gave to us. Calvin, can you play that clip of Dan talking to Senator Raphael Warnock?
Well, we are in a fierce debate in the Congress right now The big ugly bill represents the largest transfer of wealth from the bottom half of the country to the top that we've ever seen. And I'm very concerned about my constituents in Georgia. I'm concerned about rural towns in particular that count on SNAP, not only the people who need it, but these small grocery stores, the local economies that count on this, on this response to food insecurity.
I mean, it says it right there, Dan. I mean, I see videos projecting the taxes for poor people will go up versus tax cuts for billionaires will also go up. I mean, we're talking about a bill here that is going to penalize people for being poor and food insecure and just not being a guy who can call up and talk to the president when they want to. I mean, this is ridiculous. And I didn't know how much Georgia had in common with Wisconsin.
Yeah. And, you know, the way he talked about this being, you know, quote, the largest transfer of wealth from the bottom half of the country to the top that we've ever seen. I mean, that's a really significant statement to me from somebody like Warnock, who has, you know, he in his keynote speech at the convention talked about some of his personal background, talked about, you know, working his way up from being a poor child to being a U.S. senator and relying on, you know, programs like Head Start, programs like food assistance, programs like that really matter. And he talked about how he campaigned in Georgia, in a lot of rural areas and small towns. And he said there were a lot of people who were surprised to see him come back after the election as well, to continue having that conversation with people. And I think, you know, he talked about it in the context of, you know, what some of his Republican counterparts are going to be doing. And, you know, there are a lot of people serving in red districts across the country who are representing those who are going to be losing Medicaid coverage, will be losing their food assistance, will be losing a few other things. And so one of his quotes was saying, quote, "And my Republican colleagues have got to decide, are they going to fight for their own constituents, the constituents in Marjorie Taylor Greene's district? Is she going to fight for them, or is she going to carry the MAGA banner? That's the question before her, and Wisconsin faces a similar question."
Well, and a question I have too is if these individuals who supported and voted for Donald Trump, not the politicians, but the real people, when they see their benefits go away, when they see their taxes go up, will they hold those Republican lawmakers
accountable?
Will they hold their feet to the fire at election time? Will qualified candidates primary them?
But I heard a statistic coming in this morning that said only one of five Americans are aware of what is in this budget bill. Mm-hmm. So that means that four out of five have no idea. It's like Project 2025.
Yeah.
It's out there, but unless it's really in your face, I don't know that a lot of people really understand what this is going to do.
Yeah.
It's a disaster of a bill.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Warnock's comments on this and just talking about the way he has worked with Tammy Baldwin over the years to address some of the similar challenges. And you know, I think both being swing states, both being states that have large urban centers and many rural small towns. And I think, you know, that their focus on, you know, being senators for the whole state is something I heard a lot from Tammy Baldwin last year. I had a chance to interview her as well, and it was interesting to, you know, see the similar approach being taken by Raphael Warnock, who reminded me as well that he won five elections in 3 years, which, you know, that's pretty impressive.
You should get a medal or a day off or a chocolate prize basket. I mean, that is amazing.
Subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. It is absolutely fabulous. So is he. Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you again on Friday.
Thanks so much. Be well.
Stay close. News coming up next. Audio sorbet when we return. Ooh, it's a tough question today. Bagels toasted or no? That's on the other side. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Authorities have caught the shooter who assassinated a Minnesota lawmaker and her husband and who shot another lawmaker and his wife. Some Wisconsin lawmakers have left their homes for their own safety after being named on the shooter's so-called hit list. Savannah Tomei Olson has that story.
Officials say Vance Bolter impersonated a police officer early Saturday morning in order to kill Minnesota State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband, Mark. Authorities say he also shot Minnesota State Senator John Hoffman and his wife, Yvette, who have had surgery and are reportedly in stable condition. Authorities allegedly found a manifesto of sorts, which listed dozens of Democratic lawmakers he wanted to target. And a source confirmed to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel 11 Wisconsin lawmakers were on that list. CNN reports Bolter's LinkedIn page shows he attended Cardinal Stritch University in Fox Point from 2008 to 2016. At least one of his cars was found in Faxon, Minnesota, which is about a 90-minute drive west of the Wisconsin border. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
34-year-old James Doerr pleads not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect for allegedly killing his addiction sponsor and the sponsor's dog in Green Bay in January. Doerr was in court Friday when he added the insanity plea to his not guilty plea. He faces charges of first-degree intentional homicide and mistreatment of an animal causing death. WGBW has a great newsletter that comes out about twice a week. It has stories of local interest, state news, and sometimes even commentary. There's always something interesting to check out or listen to. Go to WGBW.fm to sign up today. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Alan Ritchson has played Reacher for 3 seasons now, and season 4 is currently in production. It's a good gig because there are 29 Reacher books, and each one equals one TV season, which could keep an actor working for quite a while. The role is iconic and based on the books by Lee Child. Ritchson says when he won the role, he was nervous about trying to fill the shoes of Tom Cruise, who played the character in the movies. Ritchson says he was really thrilled when he got the part, but recently said that he was even more excited when he realized the character Reacher in the book eventually has thinning hair. Richson says he erupted in cheers when he read that because there is no pressure now to not go bald, which for a guy can be a challenge over the course of 29 TV seasons. Great show. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today, warm and muggy, with highs reaching the low 80s. Got chances for scattered showers and thunderstorms sparking up this afternoon, and then a line rolling through late tonight. And some of those could be strong to severe, bringing hail, high winds, and heavy downpours. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Mino and the Mayor.
DeLorean Walls in the house.
Y'all have been such a powerful platform for so many, including myself, that's bringing so much awareness. And just because the last couple of times I've been on the show, so many people have been asking, how can we help serve? And if we can get that normal, our community is going to flourish even further.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
What if it smells terrible?
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome nutritionist and dietitian from Wayless MD, Sherry Stoka. Then Phil Kraus, owner of the Time Community Theater in Oshkosh, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll wrap up the show around 10:51-ish. With This Shouldn't Be a Thing, today it is the Catch Me If You Can edition. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Calvin found this one.
He's good at them.
He is good at them.
He is our Tisbat hunter.
He is the Tisbat hunter. You can be as well. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays. janesays@civicmedia.us. Use that same address to contact the show. If there's a business that you think would be good for Beyond the Cheese.
Mm, yes, please.
If there is a fundraiser in your community, whether you're in Oshkosh or Hayward or wherever you are around the state, you can always get in touch with the show at janesays@civicmedia.us. It is 10:36. This is the segment that we call Audio Sorbet.
Mm. Cleansed already.
Right? It's a cleansing for the ear away from the heavy topics of the news and all of those things that are a little bit exhausting. So we like to take a little break and lighten it up for the last half an hour of the show. This could be a very contentious argument.
Yes. I heard it is.
People have strong feelings about this. So here we go. Bagels, toasted or no? 855-752-4842. Bagels, toasted or no? 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel.
Okay.
I'm just saying what I've read.
Why? Okay. Then I respond with this question.
Okay.
Why would a purist say that?
I think because I always imagine like the creation of the bagel out east as a New York City creation.
Mm-hmm.
And I have read that New Yorkers.
Many people are saying.
Do not toast their bagels. I am not a bagel purist. I love toasted bagels.
I would honestly, I feel like the purist line, why? I can understand.
So, I don't know if it's the texture.
It's the freshness.
It's the freshness and the texture is unadulterated, non-toasted.
The flavor is untouched by the heat of the toaster oven.
There's something going on, but I guess toasting changes the bagel. In a way, that is a crime.
The toaster oven changes the molecular structure of the goodness that is America, the bagel.
See, I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear. That's what it's called. Called a schmear.
I know, but the way you said it, I wish there was inspirational music behind that. There's nothing better. I'm just going to do a lot of voices during this segment because that's what I want to do because this is fun. But I don't know. I guess I go, I guess maybe call me a super progressive. I go both ways.
Oh,
because
you're a bagel swing.
Calvin, don't look at the camera like that. I see your face. Your face can't hide your disdain of what I just said. He's a bagel purist. It's like he eats them raw. They don't even bake them.
They don't even have to
he's
cook
just
them.
Like, he's just like,
just
I
give
just
me
want,
the dough.
Give me the dough. Throw the dough at my face and some cream cheese.
Audio survey today. Bagel, toasted or no? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC.
Luann, is it Wonderose?
Wonderoos.
Wonderoos, okay.
Correct us if we're wrong, Luann.
Because yeah, I think of Underoos.
I agree with you.
Yeah, so Wonderoos.
Listening on WALAK in England.
She says, and this I feel like is very, very stern.
Specific?
Sliced. Buttered and grilled, or not at all.
There you go.
I kind of enjoy that sort of Like she gets
the vehemence.
If she goes to a restaurant and they hand her a bagel and it's not buttered and or not grilled, it's like, excuse me, garçon.
Hello.
Do you not know the ways of the bagel? I order them sliced, buttered, and grilled, or not at all.
Or not at all.
Not at all.
855-752-4842. Audio survey today. Bagels, toasted, or no? 855-75-CIVIC. I prefer a toasted bagel. I like a nice Asiago with a... sour up with cream cheese and chive cream cheese, onion and chive.
I personally, okay, so this is why I could go both ways. If I'm buying store-bought in a bag and they're in my fridge, or not my fridge, don't come at me for how I store my bagels. It's my life. I'm probably going to toast it. I want that buttery, melty, or if it's a plain, I will endeavor into peanut butter and or jelly. If it's a savory, if you try to give me a sweet schmear, I will scream in your face and run away.
Yeah, that shouldn't be.
But
a thing.
If I'm going to a deli, if I'm in New York, when in Rome, I'll go fresh, untoasted. I think that's the thing is, if I'm going to a restaurant that's making them fresh in house, I don't think I'm going to get it toasted because I think it's going to be
an
soft
and affront to the baker.
Less so than I feel like it's going to be fresh. I don't feel like what I'm getting in the store is super fresh, so just toast it and get it nice and warm and get that. Because, I mean, let's face it. Come on, Jane. Let's just be honest here. Can we have a moment? Folks, can we have a moment of honesty?
Brutal honesty.
I want a moment. Calvin, can you just play the harp music for me really quick? Just really quick. A moment of honesty with Greg.
Okay.
Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them?
It's a cream cheese delivery system.
It's a conduit for the schmear or the jelly or whatever you put
it. Of course it is.
So does it really matter?
It does matter.
Does it matter?
Delivery matters. Yes. Bagels, toasted or no, 855-752-4842. Judy from East Troy, fresh made, no toast.
There you go.
All right.
Steve from Milwaukee. Steve from Milwaukee sent a couple here. Toasted makes it less dry and easier to chew, which I understand. And that's my point with the whole, are you buying it from the store or getting it from the restaurant? I understand that. And then Steve also goes on to say, I agree with Greg. If it's at a deli, it's different. It's just a different experience.
Well, and it's going to be fresher, right? Tom from Wausau listening on WXCO. If it is a fresh bagel, don't toast ever.
Love this.
If it's not fresh or from the fridge or the freezer, toast. As a sandwich, no toast. So Tom has some pretty specific bagel rules, which I appreciate.
I will not lie. Jane and I, before the show went on today, we were a little nervous talking about this topic just because it's very specific.
It is.
But I am so happy to see so many people with not just opinions, but specific opinions on this.
We got rules.
We got rules, and we also have people who know what they want and definitely know what they don't want.
Not being wishy-washy about the bagels.
And Steve, as far as blueberry cream cheese, if it's on a plain bagel, I'll try it. If it's on anything else, get out of town.
I'm with you. I don't like the sweet.
I don't like sweet bagels. I don't like sweet bagels, and
don't put chocolate chips in my bagels.
Don't give me a dessert.
855-752-4842. Yes, the issues of the day. Audio sorbet today. Bagels, toasted or no? Ron from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Ron. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, guys. I'm very specific that I need a toasted pumpernickel bagel.
Okay.
Ooh, and it needs to have something on it. I mean, we can, the only time I won't have it, I'm like what somebody said there, maybe, I'm not sure who said it, but if it's going to be like a lunch sandwich, like a deli sandwich on a bagel, well, then I don't need it toasted. I might ask for that, but if there's cheese on it, I might ask. But, and I have a friend who just thinks he's been a bagel aficionado for most of his life, and he thinks anything other than a plain white bagel is a blasphemy.
It's crime.
Pumpernickel bagel. Yeah. It's like an affectation. But I think they're healthier, and I think they have a nice taste, and you can put less stuff on them. A smear, usually peanut butter or just butter or cream cheese,
I stay with your convictions, Ron, yeah, for one thing.
We you all know, need to you, stand up for something.
When you talk to your friend, hold your ground for the pumpernickel bagel. I think that's fantastic.
That is also something to be said. It's the notion of, like, if you love bagels so much, why isn't a plain bagel enough? Why does it have to have melted Asiago cheese or in everything? Or
why
this
does
or
it
that?
Have to have anything?
Why does it have anything in it? Which just brings me back to my point. The bagel is the conduit. No one, like, you, who's eating a plain bagel with nothing? Toasted or not toasted?
855-752-4842. You nothing on it. No schmear of any kind. There's no one does that.
I just imagine that you're just like, I need carbs right now.
No, I just can't imagine anyone do it. Because you're right. It's a delivery system.
Mm-hmm. Just like
that's
just
like cupcakes.
So can I ask another question?
Sure.
Why is it if I walk into this room right now and I am just eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Why is it so less acceptable than if I'm eating it on a bagel?
That's a really interesting question. Should we just be honest?
Let's just be honest. Just you want to eat salsa? Get rid of the chips. Just spoon it out of the tub and put it in your mouth.
It would make life much more direct.
Yes. And people are like, what are you doing? Exactly what I want.
Could do that, like, because I always say cupcakes are nothing more than a frosting delivery system. So
correct.
We could just walk around with a can of frosting, I guess, and get rid of the cake.
Let's get rid of the stigma and get to what we want, which is toppings and cream cheeses.
And butter.
And butter.
Calvin, you want to weigh in on the big topic of the day, bagels toasted or no?
Well, I just more wanted to weigh in on the argument that it's only a vehicle for toppings or schmear. I think that's a fair point, but then I think that also applies to all bread. I would look at someone just as sideways if they were eating Wonder Bread plain as if they were eating a bagel plain.
In most instances, I would agree mm-hmm. with you, but there are some restaurants that have bread that is so, like the bread basket is so good. So
that, but that brings up another question then. That brings up, it's about standards and societal norms.
Now we're veering.
You're right.
We're veering.
You're right. I'm sorry. We'll go back to bagels. Because I have a lot of thoughts on this. Why is it okay to eat plain bread before dinner, but I just can't have a piece of bread?
Leading to some whole new audio surveys
here. Yeah, I agree.
855-752-4842. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. We're talking bagels this morning, toasted or no?
If I'm buttering it, toast. If I'm not buttering it, if I'm smearing it, then plain, not toasted.
You toast only with butter?
Yes, to melt the butter, because that's better.
Okay.
That makes total sense to me. And someone brought up before, breakfast sandwiches. I feel like if you're going to put a breakfast sandwich, especially egg and cheese on there, I think some toasting or warming needs to happen to get it all melty and good. Or that cold versus hot is a weird dichotomy. But Troy, that makes sense. That absolutely makes sense. Especially you want to put the butter. No one wants to look at unmelted butter on a bagel.
Just a big pat of butter sitting there.
Exactly. Wonderful. This doesn't just feel like an airing of your opinions, but also tips.
Life tips. That's what this segment is for.
Exactly.
Yes, life tips. When we return, we're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Catch Me If You Can edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill backed by Donald Trump that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally,
businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uihlein. In 2018 alone, the Uihleins received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info at WGBW.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Calvi on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we went to the break, we were doing audio sorbet. Big question of the day, bagels, toasted or no? And I just wanted to share Carmela from Milwaukee texting in, I'm a toasted bagel person, but I eat cream cheese and ricotta right out of the tub. See, Carmela, you're doing what you want. You're skipping the middle bread. Right? You're skipping the middle, man.
Where's my family out there who drinks pancake syrup right out of the bottle?
What?
No? Oh, just me. Oh,
I think it's just you.
Whatever.
Thank you, everyone, for taking part in that. That was a lot of fun. Coming up on the show tomorrow, Canada's own Pat Kreitlow will be joining us. Hopefully, he will be back from over the border. He had some plane problems and got diverted. So, he was stuck in Canada doing the show this morning. He will be joining us tomorrow morning after 9:30. And then Randy Banner, retired Major General Randy Banner, who spent more than 30 years in the U.S. military, will be joining us to talk specifically about Donald Trump sending in troops into California, even though the governor, the attorney general, the mayor, and the chief of police never asked for them.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Donald Trump gave a speech at Fort Bragg last week in which he encouraged the troops to boo Democrats.
Yep. That's where we're at now.
So that is all coming up tomorrow. Randy Banner will be here in hour number two. I hope you can join us. Right now, though, it is 10:54, Calvin. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And as always, if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from AJ Dellinger with the byline from gizmodo.com. Headline reads, guy scores 120 free flights by posing as flight attendant before getting busted. Yeah.
We don't talk about heroes enough on this show.
35-year-old Tyron Alexander posed as a flight attendant and racked up more than 100 free flights over 6 years. He's now been convicted of wire fraud and entering into a secure area of an airport under false pretenses. Tyron Alexander managed to secure flights that were supposed to be only available to pilots and flight attendants. The Department of Justice says he was able to book these flights by falsifying employment information and giving out badge numbers that allowed him to bypass security. His primary victim was a single airline. He allegedly booked 34 different flights using fake ID numbers and stuff like that. He submitted documentation that he worked for 7 different airlines.
Yeah.
And provided more than 30 different badge numbers over the course of years. He was also able to duplicate the process that let him fly for free as a faux employee across 3 more airlines.
Mm-hmm.
So it started off with just one, and it's like, well, this is going good. I may as well spread this out.
I mean, there's a reason why we picked Catch Me If You Can edition, because exactly. It sounds like that kid from the movie. And look, I do not endorse wire fraud. I do not endorse
fraud.
I do not endorse fraud at all. I really just wanted it to be like he showed up in a uniform and they were like, yeah, sure, he's a substitute or he's a new hire or something like that.
Right.
And I'm like, man, if you can get a free flight in this world, go for it. But now you're like, oh, there's wire fraud. Okay, yeah.
And he probably, you know, he might have ended up taking someone's spot on a flight. We don't know. NBC News reported that Alexander did at one time work for an airline headquartered in Dallas. That includes Southwest and American and Ameristar Jet Charter and Flexjet on the charter side. He started working there in 2015. At no point was he ever a flight attendant or a pilot or any of those things. While he has been convicted, Mr. Alexander is still waiting to see what his penalty will be. He will be sentenced on August 25th. Nothing in here explains how he got busted. Although this does not exactly speak highly of security protocols.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And not in my head, because I've watched a lot of movies, I just want to imagine there's one lone agent and one lone agency who's like, we got to get this guy, and it becomes this whole thing. And then, you know what I mean? Like, Catch Me If You Can, too.
But he did this over almost a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you would think at some point, this never blipped on anybody's radar.
That's what leads me to go, like, is it, like, something so heinous? It's not. It really isn't. And that's why I hope, like,
in the grand scheme of a criminal behavior, okay,
people are getting away with a lot worse.
Well, that's very true.
Or being pardoned for a lot worse. But that's for another day. I'm going to be very interested to see what the sentencing is. Will it just be some community service? Will it be
a slap on the wrist?
Or a judge in some state going, I'm throwing the book at him.
He has to work as a ground crew with no earphones.
He has to be a flight attendant as a volunteer. More peanuts.
You're the cart guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the cart guy. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As we mentioned, Pat Kreitlow will be here tomorrow. Also, retired Major General Randy Manner will be joining us after 10 o'clock. I hope you can join us for that. We have news coming up next, and then Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. Our friend Todd Alba, 2 to 4. The fabulous Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. And Pete Schwab and Nightlight, 6 to 8 p.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will see you tomorrow.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusky. Vance Bolter will now face federal charges, ABC News has learned. He's accused of shooting two Minnesota lawmakers and their spouses over the weekend, killing the former Minnesota House Speaker and her husband. Authorities arrested him late yesterday. ABC's Lionel Moise has more.
His friend and roommate says Bolter recently faced financial struggles while trying to realize his dream of owning a private security company and texted him Saturday that he had made some choices and might be dead soon. Bolter spent time as a preacher, his roommate saying he became less cheerful after a missionary trip to Africa in 2023.
8 people were killed in Israel overnight after Iranian strikes, according to Israeli emergency services. 5 were killed near Tel Aviv and 3 were killed in Haifa. It comes after Israel's widespread attack last week on Iran's military and nuclear infrastructure. This is ABC News.